This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Help you out. You don't have nobody.
We got Rex Hudler here. Excited.
All the people are going wild right now, C-Dot. Look at them.
I can see. You see the enthusiasm.
There's a guy raising the roof.
They're going wild right now.
Three more raising the roof.
I can see it right now. All right, Hud, I have real serious baseball things to get your opinion on.
Okie dokie.
The Yankees have 22 walks in this series. The Royals have 7. That's been the major difference. Okay. These two teams have been very, very even so far in this series. Batting average, the Yankees have 3 home runs, the Royals have 2 home runs, bullpens have both been good. These two teams have been fairly even. The walks have been the major difference in this series. What are you seeing?
The same thing, and have not seen that characteristic of the 24 team this year. They're throwing strikes. The Royals pitching staff, the leaders in there, Brian Sweeney, Zach Bove, all these guys that they have helped this Royals pitching immensely. They're helping them develop pitches, shaping their pitches. Michael Wacha, who's going tonight for us, he developed a slider. It's the first time in his career. What has he got, 10, 12 years in? I mean, these guys have done a great job. And last year, it was Raid the Zone. This year, Rain the Zone. Okay, anyway, they're talking about throwing strikes and attacking. So they've got that. Sure enough, they got rid of a few of the guys that they had, some of the young guys that couldn't throw strikes, and they filled it with some veteran players who have ability. But even some of these young guys are starting to show some ability to throw strikes. Well, what we need to do, C-Dot, is they need to just go and challenge hitters and challenge them in a game like this. You can't give them a free pass, make them earn it. What are the chances a guy pops one up, he hits a weak ground ball to the shortstop or third baseman, they make the play, you're out. Now, once in a while, he's going to tag you. You're going to get lifted. They're going to hit a homer off you. But you bet you'd rather get them to deserve to make them earn that knock than give them a free pass. So for our guys, our offense, stay aggressive. We don't have the walk gene that's not in our DNA. Stay aggressive because they're coming out throwing strikes. And for our pitching staff, Wacha knows. I'm not concerned about Wacha. The rest of those bullpen guys, fill up the strike zone. 1, 2, 3, and make them hit the ball. That's the whole key. No nibbling. You know, you hear us use that term? That's offensive to a lot of pitchers. I used to be in that dugout for all them years, and I'd hear it. You know, somebody bring up nibbling, he'd go, I want to hear about nibbling. You know, they're offended by that. Means they're a little nervous or scared. I don't use the word scared up here in the big leagues. These guys are big leaguers. They're not scared. But some of them are a little nervous to come in that zone because they know with a guy like Stanton and Judge, those guys should be playing across the street over there. See, Dot? They're so huge and they are so talented, and that bat speed is amazing. And when you put an easy bat swing on that, the Judge or Stanton, puts on that 94 miles an hour fastball, that ball leaves at extreme velocities. So they're a little nervous about leaving him in the middle, but you can't. Tonight, this is a do or die. Throw strikes and take your chances. That's how you're going to move to the next round.
You've seen a lot of Gerrit Cole over the years. What kind of pitcher is he? What can Royals fans expect to get from him in game four tonight?
Always have loved him because I've known the human. I've known the player. There's my son, David. Hey, Dave, what's up? That's my youngest boy right there. And so Gerrit Cole, my daughter used to play softball with his sister. And so he comes running up to me when he was a Pirate several years ago, comes running at me off the field. And I was like bracing myself, thinking, "Mom, what this guy wants of me? Do you remember playing catch with? I played catch with you when your daughter was playing softball with my sister." So I've known him for a long time. And when I was an Angel broadcaster, you know, those kids out there, they all remember me for that. He's a great guy. He's a tremendous pitcher. But he's showing a little bit too much emotion. Okay, later in his career like that. He knows he should know better than that. You can't tip off the opponent with any signs of failure, with your head drop, or any kind of shaking your head. When you do that, those hitters over there in the other dugout that you're facing, they're watching your every move. You watch it, because that's where you get the release point. You watch the guy's body language. You watch him as wind up. But Gerrit Cole has been a little bit emotional, and that's not helping him any. Didn't help him in his last start either. Remember when he held up four pitches on his own, four fingers to walk the batter in a big game against, not sure who it was against, but that's stuff that the manager does. You don't do that upon yourself. So there's a lot of stuff that I'm seeing that's self-inflicted from him that I would hope that he could correct next year. Tonight, you get to him early, you shorten your barrels, you put the ball in play just like we did against him in game one. When he started that, or his first game, that was game two, barrel him. Shorten up, barrel him, barrel him, barrel him, barrel him. Don't overswing. Stay in our game and see if we can get him rattled.
Right now we're joined on location from Rex Hudler. We are live out at Kauffman Stadium. I want to get your thoughts on the offense. Let's start with Vinny Pasquantino. He is 2-for-19 since he has come back from the injury. What have you noticed differently from Vinny, I guess, pre-injury and post-injury? I mean, pre-injury, he was probably one of the top 10 run producers in the American League. You miss, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. You come back here, you know, just given the nature of the postseason, you don't get 100 ABs to kind of get into the flow of the thing, 150 ABs. You get like 30 at-bats in the postseason to try to get going and try to get some momentum and try to get your groove back. He's struggling a little bit. What are you noticing with him?
Well, the timing is everything in this business. That's why the off days don't help ball players at all. They prefer they play every day. Vinny's got to be a little more aggressive. Now, he's got a great eye, no question about it. We use the word patience with him. He don't like that word. It's a passive. He's like, you know, I'm not patient. I'm selective. I'm a selective hitter. There's no time to select now. Be aggressive. Stretch out your zone a little bit. Just look to barrel. You know, and he's got a good, he hits for average, but he's also got some pop. They need him to find that ball, find it in his zone, and shorten up that barrel and hit it out of the park. Okay? Be more aggressive. Don't go up there with the taking mentality. I'm gonna see if I can get a walk. If you want to walk, be a mailman. No, this is time to hit now. So if you can hit balls that are this far in and that far on the outer half of the plate, that far down and this far up in the zone, you can do that. You can hit those balls. You know, you don't have to be right down the middle. So especially if runners are on, I'd like to see him step up his game a little bit and be a little bit more aggressive.
I'm wondering if you want to see that same thing from Bobby Witt Jr. too. I mean, we're talking about Bobby Witt is in the conversation of one of the three best baseball players in the world. Shohei, Aaron Judge, and Bobby Witt Jr. He is off to a slow start in this series, and if this team is going to do it, to me, the big difference is, we mentioned the walks, how the Royals have 15 fewer walks than the Yankees. The other difference is Soto, Judge, and that three, Stanton, they have been better than the Royals' big three of Vinny, Bobby Witt Jr., and Vinny Pasquantino.
Right. And so for Jr., just what I see, he needs to not be as aggressive. I want Vinny to be more aggressive. I want Bobby to be a little more selective, especially when he's down in the count. They're going to try to make him chase. He's chased uncharacteristically in this playoff so far. That's not like him. We didn't see that all year. So when he gets down in the count, know they're going to chase. But if there's runners on, you know, it's a fine line. You can't get called out looking. You got two strikes on you. But just be aware of them trying to make you chase. But I'd like to see him be a little bit more selective. Wait for that pitch early in the count. At least last night, they're throwing strike one. They're going strike one, strike two. They're coming right after you, these Yankees are. So you got to be ready. It's a fine line, but we don't need him to chase.
Right now, we're joined by Rex Hudler here for a couple more minutes. We are breaking down Game 3 of the ALDS between the Royals and the Yankees. What are your keys for today? Like, if you are kind of looking at this, like, you were a broadcaster. You know, you guys have that graphic at the very beginning, keys for the game.
Yeah.
What's the keys for a Royals win tonight?
Man, it's got to be Walker. Everything starts on the mound. That's the main currency. This season, the Royals have been so successful in the greatest season of all time of any team in Major League history to go from 106 losses to a playoff team. Never been done before. What we've seen is that the five starting pitchers all year long, consistently, that's been a beautiful thing, C-Dot. That's the reason that they're here. That's the main currency in this business. So Michael Walker's got to go out, keep the ball down, stay under their bats. We haven't seen a guy that, in a long time, a right-hander that has a fastball-changeup combination like he does. It's a beauty. You can go up there as a hitter, and these guys are great at their what they do at the highest level. You could look for the changeup and still can't hit it. It has great movement. The arm action he gets, the same arm speed as his fastball. He puts that ball in the back of his three fingers, and he pronates. He turns it over, and he has that ball doing screwball-like stuff. And it's a big change of speed, 10-mile-an-hour difference from his fastball. He can go out there and work that magic, and when they do hit it, they hit the top of the ball. They use the ground ball. Our guys are excellent in the infield. Garcia at third base, and you got Junior over there, Massey, and Yuri. He's done a good job. Gurriel at first base. Get some early count outs. Keep them in the park, and we need to score early. We have to score first. Now, if we don't, I mean, you're still in it, but the odds go up immensely when a team in the big leagues, especially a playoff game, scores first. Their chances go up to win.
That is Royals broadcaster Rex Hudler joining us live on location. We are outside Kauffman Stadium today. Hud, we need your energy. We need your enthusiasm inside the park for Game 4 tonight.
It's exciting. They're going to get me do a little bit. I'll do a little hit on the Crown Vision, you know, with Goldie and Monty about 6 o'clock.
Goldie's coming over here right when you get up.
Oh,
you better sit
it.
In that chair.
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable. You got Goldie, man. He's a beautiful thing. And so what we're going to do is, now that's from the pitching standpoint, and Quartero, in my opinion, the manager of the year, for sure. Now, I'm sure Steve Vogt will get a lot of votes, but Quartero, he'll manage the pitching Walker. He'll manage him just right. Now they can go to the bullpen. It's Johnny Allstaff. That's how we used to call it. That's what we call it. All hands on deck. This is the last game. You got all your guys. So he'll be able to manage. You can trust him with his moves as far as the pitching goes. Offensively, we've got to be able to get him on, get him over, and get him in. You know, if we hit a homer, great. But the Royals' mantra has always been frenzy hitting. Frenzy hitting. So find a way off Gerrit Cole. They can. They know. They're very confident about him. They just faced him. They know exactly what they're going to see. We score early and often. And don't give them a chance to catch up.
That is Rex Hudler joining us on location. We are here at Kauffman Stadium. Coming up, your teammate, your buddy, Joel Goldberg is going to stop by. Keep it right here. So drive. I have two things that I would like to share with you guys before Joel Goldberg sits down. The first thing is they were interviewing Michael Massey earlier today, just, you know, right before the game. And they asked him, you know, how are you getting ready for this game? This could be your last game of the season. And he said, I just try to get into my routine. I think about coming to the park today and wake up. I get my cup of coffee, I hang out, and I watch the Weather Channel. And then I come to the park and do everything that I've done so far this season. A right follow-up is, you watch the Weather Channel? And he said, yes, I'm fascinated by the Hurricanes. And they asked him if this is a regular occurrence. And he said, maybe my favorite quote from an athlete, no, I'm trying not to be 65 years old. I'm sorry. I was a little worried there for Michael Massey. Now, we all have things that we're into. Maybe you're into, like, true crime documentaries. You know, maybe you're really into sports. Sitting down and watching the Weather Channel is a level of washedhood, is a level of old man that I don't know if I can condone here on this show. Joe Goldberg is going to join us in a bit. But I want to play this because I don't want this to potentially be you later today. So you guys know that the Phillies, they got eliminated. They're done. And you know how they do on the TV. They go to, like, Power and Light, or they go to like a popular restaurant, they start interviewing people about their season being over. Let me tell you that the Phillies fans did not disappoint.
There's a couple low points in my life. My dog passing away and them getting a grand slam. The grand slam took the cake.
Courtney O'Neill was not a fan of that outcome.
I feel like I might either check into AA therapy or an institute of some sort because this is crap. It's full of crap.
And she wasn't the only one. One woman told us she literally drove all the way up the East Coast just to see the Phillies lose.
I backed away from the hurricane maybe 6 or 7 hours ago. I drove 21 hours up here, and I came here. My first stop, I had no sleep. No sleep. I'm here from the hurricane, and my Phillies are losing. I don't know what else to say.
And two guys we met had to walk home in nothing but overalls with Phillies logos.
We're fed up. We're fed up. We have such great expectations.
Hit the fifth stage of grief. It's called acceptance. Acceptance that this team will not win for the next 5 years, probably.
But Courtney hasn't reached that acceptance phase just yet.
And I want everyone gone. I want the bartenders gone. I want Xfinity gone. I want my best friend gone. I want them all gone. This is bullcrap.
Royals fans, all I beg of you is I don't want to see you at Power and Light doing those kind of interviews later tonight if things don't go the way that you want to. You don't want to go viral today. You don't want to go viral, Joe Goldberg.
No.
She said it's one of the worst things that ever happened to her was that grand slam.
And I'm thinking it's Philadelphia. Those were the cleanest versions of interviews that they had because she said bullcrap, which means that she was filtering herself a little bit. The rest of it was pure heart. Way back when, until I was 13 years old, I grew up outside of Philadelphia, about 10 minutes away from J.J. Piccolo, actually, but we didn't know each other. And that's pure Philadelphia. If these fans are the ones that are going to, if they've got to grease the light poles in Philadelphia after they expect the Phillies or Eagles to win championships, which we understand hasn't happened a whole lot because, in part, our boys here, then imagine how they might feel after losing. And not just losing, C-Dot. Like, I don't think we have a rivalry, in baseball at least, like they've got with the Mets going back forever. That's more of like a Chiefs-Raiders or Chiefs-Broncos type of thing. It's one thing to be eliminated. It's another thing to be eliminated as the higher seed. It's even worse to be eliminated to the Mets. That, to me, sounded tame for Philadelphia. But as well, I don't know if the word would be beneath us, above it, whatever it is. That's not Kansas City.
Right now, we're joined by Joel Goldberg. All right, Joel, we have seen three games between these two teams. They have been fairly even. What do you think has been the difference? Why do you think the Yankees have the 2-1 advantage right now?
It's been dead even. Equal amount of runs scored, right? I was thinking if we could carry one run over from the win to at least force a tie in the other one, aggregate scoring or something. I don't know. It doesn't work that way. But I think that the point is that they have been either one run or two run games, every one of them. They have been dead even. So it's a little play here and there. Forget about the luck piece of it, right? You know, you get a good roll here, a ball stays fair, a diving catch on Vinny yesterday. I think that let's just start with this. Just cut down on the walks. And I think only one of the 9 walks scored yesterday, so who knows, but cut down on the walks. They out-hit the Yankees yesterday. If you're this close to a team, every one of these little deals matter, and these Royals, whether it be the ones 9 and 10 years ago or the ones right now, pride themselves on playing small ball, playing fundamental baseball. They have to play fundamental baseball. And I know that the Yankees aren't like most teams. Forever, they have taken walks. You don't want to throw it down the middle of the plate, but there's a temptation to nibble a little bit. Just throw good strikes. We've got very good pitchers on this side. Don't give them free passes. If they're going to beat you the way Giancarlo Stanton did yesterday, tip your cap and move on. But don't walk guys and then let them beat you because of those walks.
You have an opportunity that's very unique as a baseball broadcaster. You talk to baseball players every single day. You understand how they think. They tell you about their preparation. What is the difference in facing a team early on in a series and now you have to face them again? Waka has seen this lineup already. Gerrit Cole has also seen this lineup as ready. What have you heard from players about the differences in how you want to approach things? We hear it all the time about the second or third time through the order. This is now Aaron Judge, fourth and fifth time seeing the starting pitcher tonight.
Well, I mean, if you are the Royals in terms of what you're doing with Aaron Judge, keep doing what you're doing, which to me means you don't need to throw him good strikes right now. Let him get himself out. And that might be one guy that if you're going to walk every now and then, you can live with that. I think the interesting piece to this C-Dot, and we talk about this during the course of the year, it's less magnified. When, let's say, whoever it is, the White Sox come in here, maybe they're not always a great example, whatever. Detroit comes in here, you play a weekend series against them, then say you go to Cleveland, then you go to Detroit, and you end up facing the same starter from Detroit, say Tarek Skubal, you know, next week that you did a week before, and it's like, okay, who's going to make those adjustments? So they deal with this type of stuff all the time. The difference right now is that every one of those pitches is magnified. I think the Royals should feel very comfortable against Gerrit Cole tonight. If anyone's going to make the adjustments, it's got to be Gerrit Cole, because he did give up 7 hits and 4 runs against them. And not just 7 hits, hard hit balls too. These weren't lucky. And, you know, I think exit velocity is incredibly telling, because it rules out a lot of the luck piece. Now, if you're making a lot of outs with exit velocity, then maybe you are getting unlucky. But if you're hitting the ball hard, that's generally a sign that you're seeing a pitcher well, and I think that they should have confidence in that. I hope their focus tonight is on the confidence that they just had against Gerrit Cole in Game 1 versus thinking about elimination, and I think that'll be the case. The question becomes, does Gerrit Cole switch up and make adjustments to them? For the most part, Michael Wacha pitched very well against them. That was, if I remember correctly, a bit of an issue with the bullpen that game as well. So I think that there will be adjustments made throughout all of this, based on last week or based on the way things are going tonight. But I think there are adjustments being made right now at a much higher level than the regular season, pitch by pitch, at bat by at bat, because they have to.
A big thing that has stood out to me in this is it's a lot like a basketball game or a football game where you kind of look at your big three. You know, if the Chiefs are going to advance, you need Mahomes, Kelce, and Chris Jones to play well, or you're probably going to lose that postseason game. The difference in this series has been the Yankees have gotten a little bit more from their big three than the Royals have gotten from their big three, and the Royals are just more reliant on Bobby Witt than the Yankees are with Aaron Judge, because they just have so many other pieces in their lineup.
Yeah, and I agree with all of that. But then I would take it a step further if you're the Royals, because I think that over the course of a baseball season, the Royals are less reliant upon Bobby Witt Jr. than the Yankees are on Aaron. And so I think that you need guys, and we saw this in the first couple games of the series. You need guys, whoever it is, the Michael Masseys, the Michael Garcias, Tommy Pham. Those are the players that can make the difference. And Kyle Isbell did it last night. You know, I mean, without Kyle Isbell's big hit, who knows where you're at. The thing I like about this lineup, which is the exact lineup they had against Gerrit Cole in Game 1, is that I think you give yourself a chance to get some guys on base for Bobby Witt Jr. You have Michael Garcia, Kyle Isbell, Michael Garcia, Michael Massey, all preceding Bobby Witt Jr. I would agree. I mean, in the end, are they going to win and lose, live and die with Bobby Witt Jr.? Not necessarily. That doesn't have to be the case. But if he could start going, no better time like right now. I think that the hit last night should loosen him up a little bit. It's been a reminder over these last couple of weeks that he is human. Most guys are. The best players, the elite-level players, don't stay down very long, and we've never seen him stay down very long.
Right now, we're talking to Joel Goldberg. Would you have switched the lineup up at all? Because Rob and I were talking about this. I mean, Vinny Pasquantino, since coming back from the injury, is 2-for-19. Now, you maybe don't win the Orioles series. You certainly don't win it in two games without Vinny Pasquantino. He doesn't have a hit yet in this series. He has more strikeouts than he has walks in this series. He's sitting in the third spot right now. Like, this team needs to be able to generate some offense today, and you're going to have to probably score 4 or 5 runs to win this game. Would you have switched the lineup up?
I don't think I'm messing with that 2, 3, and 4. It has been what has gotten you there all year long. And if you want to be that player, to me, this is like the equivalent, and every now and then somebody can pull this off. I'm not a big gambler, but this is like the equivalent of that blackjack player that knows that they shouldn't hit on 17. But you know what? I'm going to roll the dice because I think there's a 2 or 3 in there. It's one of those, like, yeah, you could sit there and say, well, I think maybe if we stick somebody here at 3 today and we'll try something different tomorrow. To me, that feels like throwing darts a little bit and just playing, I don't know, playing roulette, playing blackjack, whatever it is. This is, you just referenced the big three. This is your big three. And guess what? the Yankees aren't moving Aaron Judge out of where his spot is. I don't think the Royals are going to move these. And I don't think there's really a team in baseball that's going to mess with their 2, 3, and 4, their 3, 4, and 5. I think the modern-day middle of the lineup is the 2, 3, and 4, by the way, unless you don't have one. So what was different, C-Dot, was for the month or so that Vinny was out, he didn't really have a three-hitter. Maybe we'll try Salvi there one day. Maybe we'll try Massey. Maybe we'll try Melendez. None of them really looked like three-hitters. And maybe, just maybe that's different in giving Vinny a little bit of space, move him down to, I don't know, 6, 5, 7. If you had someone that was ridiculously hot, who's ridiculously hot in this offense right now? There isn't one. So I think you stick with what has gotten you there and really hope for your best that those players in front, you really want Kyle Isbell, Michael Garcia, and Michael Massey to know your goal is to get on base for the big boys.
Have you seen Witt struggle like this before? I mean, I can ask you this because you've seen every game that he's played as a pro. Have you seen him go through a slump like this before?
Well, yeah, but no. And what I mean is that he hasn't played in games like this. He just hasn't. What I have seen is over my years of covering playoff baseball, and not just 14 and 15, but I was in St. Louis for 9.5 years. That was a lot of playoff baseball. I saw really high-level elite players just go into slumps for a couple of weeks. Is it because the playoffs get to them, or is it just bad timing? And that's
feels like what's happened to Aaron Judge as well.
And with Aaron Judge, it's happened more than one year.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, and I'll knock on wood for anybody that believes in that stuff, I'm not saying that he is suddenly a guy that you can just not worry about. Hey, it's Aaron Judge. He's no good in the playoffs, because we know that one swing of the bat could change that. But I think, and especially in a place like New York, if you have enough years where you struggle in the playoffs, that's not just a matter of being called at the wrong time. That's being called at the wrong time every single year. So it's too early to have that book on Bobby Witt Jr. All we can say right now is that he struggled for the last week or so. I will say it's been a while since I can remember him chasing like that. When you see Salvi chase like that, you say, well, that didn't look good, but we know that he can connect with one of those, or in one swing he could get out of it. But I'll still get back to just having the confidence to have that hit last night was big. And I think the confidence to continue to play good defense is a big piece of it, too.
Right now we're talking to Joel Goldberg. Two things that have come up that I want to get your thoughts on, both things that happened in game. One is Bobby's decision to not steal late in that game. Do you agree with that decision? Would you like to have seen them? You mentioned the roulette. You mentioned the gambling analogy of rolling the dice. Certainly trying to get Bobby into scoring position could have helped yesterday.
I mean, going back to the blackjack reference, when Bobby's going well from a speed standpoint, put the hitting aside, when Bobby's going well, his stealing a base is like doubling down on a face card in blackjack. It might not work every time, but you feel really good about it. He hasn't run a whole lot lately. I know he said something last night about not getting good reads on it. There's always been that expression, I hear Hud say it a lot, that speed never goes into a slump, which is true. If you're fast, you're fast. But you can get into a slump with the way you're reading things, and you can get in your head a little bit. I'd have to look, and we could do this during the break. Like, how many stolen bases does Junior have in the last month? He hasn't been running a whole lot. So do I agree with his decision not to steal? I agree with his decision not to steal if he's not comfortable with it. Because if you're not comfortable, you're hesitant. And you may not be getting the right read. You may not be getting the right jump. And then you're just running into and out. So, yes, life would have been a lot better if he was on second base at that point. But if he's never going to get there, then you might as well stand pat and understand that a double still scores you, a single gets you to third, and you're not running into an out.
Give me an X factor for today's game. We mentioned the big three, that heart of the Royals lineup. It feels like if they're going to win today, you're going to need a big hit from Michael Massey. You're going to need Kyle Isbell to have an RBI double that you win this game 5-3. We had a stat just about if you don't score three runs in a playoff game, you just don't win a whole lot in the postseason. It's like trying to win an NFL playoff game 13-10. It happens, but you're going to have to put up some points in order to be able to do it. The same thing in baseball with the runs. Give me an X factor outside of the big three, a guy that you think could potentially come up with a big hit.
I'll give you a few, and I'll first jump on your football comparison there. You might win one playoff game 13-10, but you're not going to win three of them. And the Royals won that playoff game, if we want to call it that, against Baltimore by not doing it. But they're still there right now. Now they did score a bunch of runs in one of those games in New York, so it's not like they're incapable. I don't think we're in a situation. I had somebody last night say to me, as the Royals were still scoreless, the Royals haven't scored a run at Kauffman Stadium in blah, blah, blah innings. And I'm like, well, they haven't been here in like 2.5 weeks. Yes, they were struggling at home before they left for that final road trip. I don't think there's a guy in the clubhouse or dugout. I'm not talking about being mentally strong. I don't think there's a guy in the dugout that was like, oh my gosh, it's been since the middle of September since we scored here at home. They're not thinking that way. But right now, they are in a little bit of that offensive funk. Some of that has to do with pitching when you're facing guys like they're facing, which is what you're going to face all playoffs long. Okay, as far as X factors, it'd be easy for me to say Michael Wacha, but if Michael Wacha puts up zeros for six innings, which he's certainly capable of, you still have to be able to score a run. You got to loosen up a little bit. You got to get the crowd juiced up a little bit. Obviously, scoring runs would help. I'll give you three names that I think are worth mentioning, but really, to me, X factors would be anyone that is not the big three. But I think for me, I'm looking at either a Michael Garcia, who loves, for lack of a better term, he likes a little bit of that bad boy. You saw some of the social media exchange calling out Carlos Rodon. If you've seen any of the stuff, the videos of him in winter ball, there was a massive brawl. He had hit the home run and pimped it, but he didn't start the brawl. It was others that were involved in that back in Venezuela in winter ball. He loves being the bad guy. Good kid. He loves the emotion. He loves that energy. If he has a big hit, he's a guy that can completely fire them up. He's one. I think my other one is Tommy Pham. It's just a guy that's been there. It's a guy that's not going to be freaked out by it. Is he going to get the job done? I don't know. I mean, I don't know any, but he's looked good. He's a spark plug. There's a reason why they got him. They weren't just interested in Tommy Pham at the waiver deadline. They weren't just interested in Tommy Pham when St. Louis got him at the trade deadline. They were interested in him all year long. It took a while, but they finally got him. As a matter of fact, I know that when they made the call and JJ called him, Tommy said something along the lines of, "What took you so long?" So both sides wanted this to be able to get together. And Tommy Pham has been a winner. There's another guy that's got a little bit of that bad boy persona to him, like Michael Garcia. Great teammate. Guys love him. But I think those are two guys that play with an edge. And so I say that if they get that hit, they might be the type of guys that get everybody else fired up.
That is Joel Goldberg joining us live on location. We are outside Kauffman Stadium getting you ready for Game 4 of the ALDS between the Royals and the Yankees. Joel, man, happy to have you sit down with us today, man.
It's good to be here with you guys.
Absolutely. Coming up on the other side, we will talk about the one thing that all of you have been talking about, and no, it is not the strike zone. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's the drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Yes, it's Hollywood Brown. Welcome to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
We all have seen this scenario. It hurts to see Brett Favre playing for the New York Jets. It hurt you to see Derek Johnson playing for the Silver and Black or Jamal Charles in that Denver Broncos uniform because he wasn't what you remembered. You remember Jamal Charles catching passes out of the backfield, long runs against the New Orleans Saints, scoring four touchdowns against the Washington. You remember that. So you don't want to remember them being washed at the end of their career, over, done. I don't want to remember Bob Costas this way, y'all. I really don't. I don't really complain about the broadcasters a whole lot, but it's been so egregious on my television. I'm going to the game today, so I don't have to put up with it. You won't even hear me complain about this tomorrow because I won't hear it. It was starting to bubble in game two. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen to this. He sounds so disappointed that Stanton hit into a double play. Listen to this.
Hit to short. Witt gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault. A near base hit. Couldn't beat it out at the other end. Turns into a double play.
When have you ever heard a national broadcaster sound that way about a team hitting into a double play? They're supposed to be neutral. They're supposed to call it down the line, fair and balanced. But I was thinking maybe I was tripping, bro. That's what I was thinking. Maybe I'm tripping. Text line 913-586-7965. You guys didn't really say too much when we talked about this yesterday. Y'all kind of let it be. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, maybe it's just me. It got worse yesterday. It really did. If you've ever had the ability to go to school day at the K, you know what I'm talking about. At school day at the K, when anybody hits a pop fly, the kids go crazy. Ah! You would think that NSYNC came out, the way excited those kids get so excited. It's a routine fly ball. Ah! Everybody's going crazy like they just gave away free ice cream at the game. Bob Costas did that yesterday for a routine fly ball hit by Aaron Judge. Now, I know this is radio, so you can't see it. When you hear the initial excitement, you would think that Aaron Judge put this ball on the Royals Hall of Fame. That's what you would think. You would think that he hit crown vision the way he gets excited. It didn't even get to the warning track. Listen to this.
His ongoing postseason struggles. Here's a drive to deep left field. Does it have enough? It does not. At the edge of the track, Melendez takes it.
I was like, you know what? All right, that happens. You know, depth perception. We've all been at the game where a guy hit a home run, you stand up, and, you know, we've all been in that situation before. It started to get to the end of the game. It started to get to, hey, man, the Royals, they're running out. They're running out of outs. They're running out. Vinny Pasquantino is up. Now, I understand how you confused one of his balls for a hit. He ain't made contact with the whole lot. Listen to this call. Listen, I want you to really listen because the way Ron Darling has to kind of be like, no, he caught it. It's bad, folks. It's really bad. Listen to this.
Line drive, base hit to center field. It was smothered out there. I don't know if it was caught.
It was caught.
Oh, my gosh.
Yo, I'm telling you, And I got all the respect in the world for Bob Costas. I really do. I'm telling you that Bob Costas is one of the greats. Bob is, he's been bad. He's been real. I'm you guys think I'm joking. The biggest reason I'm going to the Royals game today is I can't do another Bob Costas game. I was able to avoid it for game one. I was at the sports book, so they didn't have the audio on. I'm just watching the game. I'm watching college football. Game two, I was like, my antennas was up. I'm like, what's going on here? Something sounds, is Bob okay? I didn't know. But again, I started thinking maybe I was crazy. Maybe I was crazy. And then yesterday, I'm listening to game three, and I'm just like, you know what? This is you guys' fault. Yes, I'm blaming you guys. I'm blaming you guys. We had a good thing going with Joe Buck. We really did. Madison Bumgarner puts together an all-time series, and you guys couldn't wait to get rid of Joe Buck. So Joe Buck said, fine, you guys don't want me to do the baseball games anymore. I won't do them. I'll go do something else. I'll go do this football thing full time because he got tired of you guys poking at him. So Bob left us. He's gone. And now look at who we get, man. We wouldn't be in this situation if you guys had shown Joe Buck a lot more love and appreciation and respect. Joe, come home. Come home. You guys thought when Joe was gone, you thought this was going to be better for us. No, it's not better for us. I feel bad for Ron Darling. Bob, I'm telling you, this is somebody who you called Michael Jordan's last shot with the Bulls. You were on television on June 16th, 1995, during the OJ car chase. Bob Costas is a legend. Bob Costas is Tom Brady's last year with the Buccaneers right now. That's who he is.
Nah, Tom was too good. Tom had some moments.
That's who you are, Bob. You were Tom's last year. I'm talking about Tom when he came back when it was obvious he's about to get a divorce. That Tom. You remember when Tom was gone in the middle of training camp and then Tom came back? You could see it on his face. Tom was beside himself.
What has happened to Turner, by the way? Like, 10 years
hold
ago.
Hold on. Let me say this before I even forget. We all love George Brett. George is great.
This is bad.
George is great. We had George on the show earlier. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to get George on before the postseason's over. We love George. You know what I don't want in the middle of the game? A George Brett interview.
George didn't want to be interviewed.
George ready to get back to his drink and watch the game. Leave George alone. Somebody made this analogy, so I wish I could give them credit because I can't remember exactly who it was. But interviewing George Brett the way that they did in the middle of a postseason game felt like a Chiefs preseason game is what it felt like. You know, during the preseason game in the second half when they got Casey Printers at quarterback.
Good pull.
And they just got an interview just to get paid, man. We trying to get through these last 30 minutes, man. That's what we're trying to do. That's what it was like yesterday. I don't know what's going on. They got to get back the NBA. TNT, they're going downhill. They lost the NBA. It's downhill. It's over.
I was going to say, because even the NBA part aside, 10 years ago, we talked about it earlier this year, 10 years ago was the anniversary of the wild card game. You know what the wild card game was on? TBS. They had Ernie Johnson.
Bring Ernie back.
They had Ron Darling. They had all the great stuff going on. You know what's happening in this series? Neither do I. The camera angles are terrible. Last night, Stanton hits that ball, and like, oh, we got a relay. Yeah. We got to play at the plate. Here we go. And it flashes to the pitcher. And I'm like, what are we doing? What happened? Was he out? And then they show a different camera angle, which is somehow worse. We have jump cuts. We have bad graphics. We have 10-minute interviews with George Brett in the middle of the game.
Sounds like an 05 movie.
It's just
like a 2005 superhero film.
I legitimately feel like I'm like, man, this is like the, you know, Channel 3 Access Television High School Game of the Week. It was poorly done. How Turner spends a lot of money on this, and that's what they give us? Just a terrible product? And the last cut we play where Costas didn't know about Pasquantino's hit, is extra bad, and it sounds worse when Darling's like, he caught it.
It just sums up the game. Oh. That's what it was. That's, I guess, the main point of this. You know, I do want to get back to the Royals. Joe Buck, come home, man. Come home. I know you're tired of calling Eagles Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. That can't be fun. I know you're tired of it. You don't want to be calling Bills Dolphins. You don't want to be doing that. You got to go to Buffalo in the middle of November. That doesn't sound fun. Come back to calling baseball, man. Come home, man. We miss you, Joe. We miss you. Baseball's not the same, man. It's not the same. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to get you ready for Game 4 of the ALDS. I've got some stats. The Royals, they got to be better offensively.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!